Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, February 7th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up today in Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 through 24. Before we begin today, I want to talk about what a mandrake is, because that comes up in the story of Scripture today. According to my study Bible, a mandrake has fleshy, forked roots that resemble the lower part of a human body and were therefore superstitiously thought to induce pregnancy when eaten. According to the internet source iBible, mandrakes were believed to be a stimulant to help with fertility and conception in barren women. And so Rachel sees the mandrakes as a way to help her bear a child with Jacob. The study Bible says this: Rachel, like Jacob, tried to obtain what she wanted by magical means. Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 through 24. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children, or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God, who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my servant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and I too can build a family through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am! The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said, "he can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." Gracious, that was worse than reading a soap opera. And one of the things that stood out to me was that the women who gave their servants to their husband, when the servant had children, they believed it was God's blessing on their life. And we always, as an interpretive principle, need to go back to God's word. When we think something is from him, we should check it in the word to see if it is according to his character. And if you think back to Genesis chapter 2, we remember that God made man and woman to be married. This is what it says in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So the divine intention was for a husband and a wife to be in a monogamous relationship and an inseparable union where they became one flesh. And Jacob shouldn't have been one flesh with four women. We know practically that it causes a lot of issues relationally, but it also is just not according to the way that God intended for us to live. We could say a lot more about that passage, but I think we should just move on to Psalm 57. For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a miktam, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts. Men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heaven. Let your glory be over all the earth. And now let's move over to the book of Mark. Today we will end our time, for this season at least, in Mark. The title in my Bible says, Jesus Has Risen. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Before we move on to verses 9 through 20, I just want to read this note from the Bible. Serious doubt exists as to whether these verses belong to the Gospel of Mark. They are absent from important early manuscripts and display certain peculiarities of vocabulary, style, and theological content that are unlike the rest of Mark. His Gospel probably ended at 16:8, the verse I just read, or its original ending has been lost. Starting with verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And while they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I'm tempted not to even address the reliability of scripture question because I do not want to lose sight of the fact that Mark 16 reminds us that Jesus is risen, and that's where I want our focus to lie. But we should talk just a second about the fact that what's going on here with this ending in Mark and why isn't it in the earliest manuscripts? Well, we have thousands of manuscripts of the Bible, which is wonderful. And according to reasonabletheology.org, the incredible amount of manuscript evidence has shown that the New Testament is 99.5% accurate, and the vast majority of differences are in spelling or a minimal copyist error. And most importantly, we should know that there's not a single variation to these thousands of manuscripts that has been shown to affect a theological issue in any way. And that's why the note is made about this reference at the end of Mark, isn't it? I mean, there are some kind of weird things here about drinking deadly poison and holding snakes. And there have been entire theological constructs built around these verses. And we just must be honest that they are not in the earliest of manuscripts, the most reliable of manuscripts. It's probably an addendum, something that an editor added on because they didn't like the way that Mark ended so abruptly. But to go back to my original point, I want us to land on bewilderment and amazement that the God of the universe would come as a human to die on our behalf and was raised again to defeat death and hell and has taken us with him, and we too have victory over the grave because of what Jesus has done. Let's move now to Missions Monday. Today we are praying alongside the Well House for the Spirit of Christ to flood the Well House and for the many women and girls to know the joy of following Jesus. This is an organization that exists to honor God by providing opportunities for restoration to female victims of human trafficking. Will you pray with me? Father, we come to you aware of our great need, and we ask, Lord, that you would be at work in us and in our partner of ministry, the Well House. We pray for the women who are at the Well House seeking restoration and healing. And we pray for the staff of the Well House who themselves also need to feel a touch of your Spirit. We pray for their lives and everything that they have going on. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit of Christ would flood the Well House, that you would give peace of mind and heart for those who are experiencing trauma counseling. We pray for patience as progress can feel slow. And we pray, Lord, that when they face the most difficult moments, that they will trust in God to see them through. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for what you are doing through our partners in ministry. And we ask, Lord, your many blessings upon them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.